We believe there's more than 500,000 people. Some people in our coalition think there were 1 million people here. I don't know, but it was very vast. One demonstration, though, doesn't stop the war. This is part of building a movement that will ignite, we hope, a firestorm of opposition at the grassroots level. In the 60s, if you look at what happened with both the anti-war movement in Vietnam and the civil rights movement, it's only when that movement became an irresistible force, something that average people had become passionate believers in and become the voice of, that the government was unable to ignore it any longer. And rather than go on and have revolution, they ended the war in Vietnam. Rather than go on and have revolution, they gave legal civil rights in the end of formal apartheid in America. So what we're trying to do is to do that and do it quickly, because we're in a race for time. Bush is racing to war, not because of a military need, not because Iraq poses a grave and imminent danger. Iraq is obviously a hobbled country. It's surrounded. It's inspected. It's not an imminent and grave danger. Bush is racing to war because he doesn't want things like this to grow and grow and grow. He's in a race for time, not against the threat from Iraq, but against his own people who are rising up against the war, and against the people of the world who are coincidingly rising up. Today in 32 countries, there were demonstrations coinciding with the January 18th Answer protest. We just learned that in the state capitals, all the state capitals of India, there were demonstrations today. I mean, it's a proliferating movement. And we're trying to preempt war. We're trying to preemptively preempt war by having a preemptive anti-war movement. And we have to take the next step. The next step will be on January 28th, the day after the State of the Union address. There will be demonstrations in hundreds of cities at federal buildings at noon and at 6 o'clock, giving the people a chance around the country to say no to Bush's war speech. And the State of the Union this year will be a war speech. And then on February 15th, the European peace and anti-globalization movement have called for there to be massive demonstrations against the war. Just as the world answered the call that came from America for January 18th, we want to answer the call that came now from Europe, and we intend to participate in the demonstration in New York City and around the country and around the world on February 15th. I think millions will be in the streets in Europe, and I think we can have a very, very vast turnout here as well.
Brian Becker, given that the anti-war movement here in this country and around the world is gaining momentum, is it not possible that to stem the tide of this momentum, that the Bush administration might be more likely to act earlier in terms of executing war than they would otherwise?
I think that's exactly the situation. The Bush administration is racing to war not because there's a military threat that's growing from Iraq. They're racing to war because they don't want the anti-war movement to grow so fast that it will become an irresistible force. You can see, here we are before the first shot has been fired. Well, actually, there's been many shots, but I mean the first real opening of the new war. And you have 500,000 people in the streets in New York, I mean in Washington, probably hundreds of thousands in San Francisco. Bush knows that this could put the administration in deep, deep trouble. They act cocky. They go around with this kind of swaggering, sneering, threatening, literally physical posture as well as their words. And what's happening really is there's a backlash. It's a people's backlash, and it could revive the broader movement for social justice and peace, the movement that was so dominant in the 60s and early 70s. It could be one of those ironies of history that this right-wing, ultra-militaristic, ultra-war president could actually provoke a huge movement for peace and justice in America.
What are the options for the peace movement if the Bush administration does go forward with a war, that we actually have bombing and troops invading Iraq?
Well, I think that will intensify the struggle in the United States. The war will have, in a metaphorical sense, two fronts. It'll be the front in Iraq, and then there will be, as there was during Vietnam, the political front, which will be waged in the streets and in the high schools and the campuses and the workplaces in the United States. So it means we have to go from large protests to even larger protests, and from protest to resistance.
What do you think about employing civil disobedience? Certainly in the civil rights movement and the anti-globalization movement, there's been much in the way of civil disobedience. Do you think there's a place for that in countering the war drive?
Direct action and civil disobedience are an inevitable consequence of the right-wing, militaristic, and pro-war policy of the administration. what should the government expect except that people will go out and try to refrain that government using available tactics when that government is engaged in illegal activity, flaunting the Constitution, abrogating the Constitution, abrogating international law, and carrying out a war of aggression in violation of the UN Charter. So when the government acts illegally, people carry out civil disobedience, direct action, as well as mass action in order to restrain the government.
Just one last question. You're with the International Action Center, International Answer, but this is a very large coalition that got behind this this march, previous marches, and for future marches like on February 15th. What do you make of the sort of universe of people coming together now under the banner against this war? Is there something deeper than just opposition to the Iraq war that could sort of outlast this particular campaign to develop a new political current here in the United States with some power?
Well, that's what the world and this country urgently needs. The decline of the large, very large youth movement and peace movement and anti-racist civil rights movement after the close of the Vietnam War and after the formal granting of civil rights led to some tragic consequences. Once the people got out of the streets, we got Ronald Reagan in the White House. We got the attempt to reverse all of the social gains that were made by the black movement, the women's movement, the gay and lesbian movement, the student movement, the workers' movement. And that's what's been going on for 20 years. It's not just about George W. Bush. It was Bill Clinton. It was George Bush Sr. It was Ronald Reagan. It's been 25 years of reaction of a right-wing political discourse that really came about because people got out of the streets. So what we're hoping for, what I'm hoping for, is that the Iraq war becomes a catalyst for the revival of a progressive, broad social movement. The only thing that really offers any hope.
You see seeds being planted for that coalition to outlast the Iraq war opposition?
Well, every social cause and every real movement takes place around living issues. So the issue right now is Iraq. The question of whether the movement can go beyond the issue is really a reflection of what consciousness exists amongst the people and amongst the leaders or so-called leaders and the organizers. Do they have the consciousness and the maturity and the vigor and the determination to do that? I think myself, as someone, I'm 50 years old. I've been active since I was 15 years old. I've been doing this for a long time. And I believe that while people my generation have a lot to offer, those of us who have remained active, the real key will be the next generation of high school kids, college kids, young workers who are being touched by the movement and who will become the real leaders. I mean, the real leaders should be about 22 years old and 23 years old or 10 or 15 years old. I mean, really young people are the ones who make a difference. And to the extent that this also crystallizes a new sort of idealism and optimism among young people, that could have the effect of regenerating the broader progressive movement.